The company-wide email goes out, all sunshine. We embrace flexible work. Working from home is encouraged. Do what feels right for you. Then you walk into your team meeting and your manager says, "Be at your desk by 9.
Now swap the company for a university and swap the email for its official AI policy. More than 100 of America's top research universities put out guidance that said, more or less, go ahead and use ChatGPT. Then somebody pulled the actual computer science syllabi from those same schools. Half of them ban it outright.
That's the paper we're digging into today. A comparison of what universities say about generative AI at the top versus what individual professors write into their own class rules. And by the end, you'll understand why those two layers openly disagree and what that disagreement tells you about who's actually protecting the learning.
And I want to flag the obvious reading right away, because it's wrong. This is not a story about professors secretly defying their bosses. These are public, written syllabus rules. The university and its own faculty just reached opposite conclusions, out loud, on paper. That's the puzzle.
Right, and it's not abstract. If you or your kid or your grandkid is in college right now, the AI rules on the syllabus may flatly contradict what the school claims in its press release voice. And the syllabus is the one that gets you an honor code violation.
So here's the intuition most people carry into this. The university sets the policy, and it flows downhill. Administration decides. Faculty comply. The syllabus is just the local copy of the official rule. Clean chain of command.
And that picture is exactly what falls apart. Because for 3 years, nobody had actually put the two layers in the same room. Prior work looked at institutional policies, or it looked at course policies, but always as separate, unconnected piles of documents from different schools.
Which means you could say, universities are pro-AI and course rules are strict in the same breath and never know if it was a contradiction or just two unrelated samples.
So before we touch a single number, why does the university sets the rule break down?
Because the syllabus is the only rule with teeth, and the professor is the one who writes it.
That's the whole move of this paper. They built two matched datasets from the same set of schools. They started from the list of R1 universities. That's the classification for the most research-heavy schools in the US, the big-name research institutions. There are 131 of them. They hunted every university website for any official statement on AI in the classroom and found guidance at 116 of those schools.
And separately, the syllabi.
They tracked down 98 computer science course syllabi from 54 of those same universities. And here's the part that makes the comparison honest. 47 institutions show up in both data sets. Same school, top layer, and classroom layer, side by side.
And I want to be clear about what kind of study this is, because it changes how you read every figure. This isn't an experiment. There's no treatment group, no control. It's qualitative document coding. Researchers read a big stack of documents and tag the recurring themes. This one mentions citation. This one bans the tool. This one talks about privacy. Multiple coders, cross-checking each other.
So every number is a tally, not a lab result.
Every number is, this many of these documents said this. A careful census of what the paper says. Hold on to that. It comes back to bite the headline later.
Let's go to the top of the building first. At the institutional level, the mood is welcoming. 63% of those university policies, 73 of the 116, actively encourage students and faculty to experiment with generative AI. The dominant institutional move is, try it, and we'll leave the specifics up to the instructor.
So if the naive chain of command picture were right, we'd expect that encouragement to echo down into the syllabi. More permission at the top, more permission in the classroom.
And it inverts. At the course level, half the syllabi, 49 of 98, prohibit AI use outright. And the share that explicitly encourage it? 7%. So the institution's headline value, encouragement, nearly vanishes by the time you reach the room where the grade gets assigned.
63% encouraging at the top, 7% encouraging at the bottom. Same schools.
And the tempting read is that professors are just more conservative, or more scared. But the paper pushes a truer frame, and it matters especially in computer science. Think about a calculator. We hand calculators to students doing advanced math without blinking. We do not hand a calculator to a 7-year-old who's still learning what multiplication means. The ban isn't anti-calculator. It's about protecting the stage where you build the underlying muscle.
And intro programming is that stage.
Intro programming is exactly that stage. The entire point of the course is to grow the problem-solving muscle, and ChatGPT will happily write and debug the code for you, often better than a struggling first year would. So a CS professor banning AI in intro programming isn't defying anyone. It's a defensible teaching call. If you want the day's most important AI paper explained properly, by the way, that's what this channel does, every single day.
So the real structure here isn't a rebellion, it's an unfunded mandate. The institution says, embrace AI, reflect on your teaching, redesign your course, and hands the professor freedom with no training, no discipline-specific playbook, and no extra time. That's a landlord saying, renovate the kitchen however you like, with no budget and no contractor. The freedom is real, it's also hollow. The hard, expensive part lands entirely on the person least equipped to absorb it.
And I'll flag one thing now that comes back at the end. That encourage number at the top and that ban number at the bottom are not measuring the same thing. And that gap does some work on the drama. Hold that thought.
Noted. But even setting the numbers aside, the more revealing finding isn't the counts at all. It's the language.
This is the part of the paper I keep coming back to. Picture a new hire showing up at an office. HR describes them purely in policy terms, an asset whose use must comply with data handling and disclosure requirements. The person sitting right next to them describes them completely differently. A really smart coworker who's sometimes wrong. Someone you can bounce ideas off of. Same entity. Two totally different relationships, because proximity changes how you talk about a thing.
And that's literally what they found in the documents.
That's literally what they found. In the institutional guidance, AI is a compliance object, a risk to be managed, a policy surface. But in the syllabi, almost 4 in 10 of them personify the tool. They describe ChatGPT as a tutor, a coach, or my favorite line in the whole paper, a helpful but fallible classmate.
Wait, a classmate?
A helpful but fallible classmate. And that framing shows up in 39% of syllabi and essentially never in the institutional documents. That's the emotional truth of the whole study in one word choice. The administrator is managing a compliance problem. The professor is describing a presence in the room, something the students are already sitting next to, already talking to.
And you can see instructors trying to draw a workable line around that presence, rather than just banning it. What are the concrete versions of that?
The nicest example is Harvard's CS50 course. Instead of turning students loose on raw ChatGPT, they built their own guardrailed assistant, nicknamed the Duck, that's tuned to nudge students toward the answer instead of just handing them working code. There's also a colored use scheme some instructors adopt, red, amber, green, forbidden, assistance only, or fully encouraged, spelled out per assignment. These are professors inventing the middle path the institution didn't give them.
So the headline gap and the language gap point at the same thing. The top is talking about AI. The classroom is talking to it.
And under all of that, the two layers actually do agree on a few things, which makes the divergence sharper, not softer. Both care about transparency. 83% of syllabi, 81 of 98, give explicit rules on citing or acknowledging AI. And 2/3 of them say using AI without citing it is an honor code violation, on par with plagiarism.
So it's not chaos. It's aligned on be transparent and split on are you even allowed?
Exactly. They converge on transparency, privacy, and the risk of the tool making things up. They diverge hard on permission and on all the broad social framing, the ethics discussions, the equity concerns, the diversity language. That stuff lives at the institutional level and basically evaporates in the syllabi, where professors get concrete and operational instead. Which specific tools are allowed? ChatGPT is named in 90 of the 98 syllabi. How to cite it, and whether uncited use fails you.
And there's a suggestive thread about which schools bridge the gap best.
There is. Schools with the most thorough institutional policies were also the ones most likely to have course-level guidance at all, roughly 1/2 to 2/3 of the time, versus about 30% at schools with thinner policies. The reading is that strong institutional scaffolding either hands instructors a template or signals a culture where they feel supported enough to write their own. And that leads to the sentence that captures the paper's whole argument. Increased institutional focus on CS did not translate into clearer direction for CS instructors, leaving them to navigate these decisions largely on their own.
And this is where I want to push back on the drama. Because the paper's honest, and the episode should be too.
Go.
That vivid, "half of them ban it" headline is doing something a little slippery. It's sitting next to the fact that most syllabi provided explicit guidelines and a big chunk permit partial use. And the dramatic gap, 63% encourage up top, 50% ban down below, is partly an artifact of comparing an institutional encouragement rate against a course prohibition rate. Those are two different measuring sticks. It's not a clean apples-to-apples inversion.
That's fair, and I'll concede it. The two numbers aren't opposite ends of one scale.
And it gets worse for the causal story. The institutional documents were collected in the fall of 2023. The syllabi came in the spring of 2024, about 6 months later, during the single fastest-moving stretch this technology has had. The paper itself cites a study showing AI policy adoption in computing syllabi jumped from about 13% in early 2024 to nearly 60% by late 2025, nearly fivefold in under 2 years.
So some of the institution's permissive courses guarded divergence could just be two snapshots taken at different moments of a fast-moving story.
Could be. And the deepest limit, this only measures documents. Not compliance, not enforcement, not what a single student or instructor actually did in a single room. The most interesting claim, that vague guidance at the top produces caution at the bottom, is inferred. It's never observed. The authors are upfront about all of it, and so should we be.
I won't fight any of that. What survives is narrower than the headline, but still real. Within the same schools, the official voice and the classroom voice point in different directions and speak in different languages. That's a translation failure you can now see, coded and counted, instead of just suspect.
And it reframes the whole conversation. The thing to study isn't the policy, and it isn't the syllabus. It's the gap between them.
Which brings us back to that all-hands email. The university writes the mission statement. The professor writes the traffic tickets. And this paper is the first to hold both up for the same schools and show you they don't match. The top of the building is talking about AI as a compliance object, while the person in the room is talking to it like a fallible classmate.
The core shift is small, but it sticks. Stop reading institutional AI policy as if it describes what happens in class. It describes what leadership wants to be seen wanting. The rule that binds a student lives one layer down, written by someone who has handed the hard call and very little else.
So here's the question to leave you with. When a university says embrace AI and pushes every real decision onto individual instructors, is that empowering the people closest to the learning? Or is it just leadership dodging a hard call and calling it freedom? If you've taught one of these courses or sat in one, you already lean one way. Tell us which.
The full annotated version of this episode is on paperdive.ai, every term tapped to define, with links to the related papers grouped by theme. And if this is the kind of thing you want in your feed, you know where the channel lives.
Quick housekeeping. This script was written by Anthropic's Claude Opus 4.8. Tyler and I are AI voices from 11 Labs. And the producer isn't affiliated with either company. The paper is the comparative analysis of institutional and course generative AI policies in higher education, published July 14, 2026. And we put this together the very next day.
The email says one thing, the person in the room says another. On this one, listen to the room.